This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with SharePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.
Hello and welcome to the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast. My name is Peter Higgins and I'm here with my good colleague Peter at Wheelie Dealer on Twitter. You can find me at Conquers3 on Twitter. Also, this is the Twin Peaks Podcast. This is number 70. Podcast number 70. Who would have thought it, Pete, eh?
70. I mean, that's just wow. That's like, it feels like a milestone, doesn't it? But I think 75 is more of a milestone.
Yeah, I think some of our listeners will say it's a millstone.
You know, as in, you know,
I've had enough. It's like, please just go away, you two idiots, you like, morons.
Around my neck. Around my neck.
Oh, yeah, man. But here we are. It's the 9th of March, 2022. In all seriousness, folks, there's been a lot going on. When Pete and I spoke, we were dreading, you know, the possibilities of, and unfortunately, since the last podcast, it has happened. You know, the situation in Ukraine is absolutely appalling. I don't want to say too much because everyone's read it, everyone's listening to it.
We're all fed up. You know, yeah.
You know, and we're hoping and praying, you know, that at some point, very, very soon, it all comes to an end, really, because far too many people are going to lose lives and be displaced and all the rest of it, and soldiers and families and all the rest of it are going to be lost on each side. A very interesting thing I keep seeing is the fact that the Ukrainian forces are made up of 15% female soldiers, and we had International Women's Day yesterday, so a big shout out to all the women around the world that are doing all manner of different things and empowering and being role models for all the other young girls out there. And to all the young girls out there and young women out there, you can be anything you want to be. Just remember that, okay? So just go for it. And don't let any man or boy tell you you can't.
And you can certainly be investors and traders.
As well. And leaders and CEOs.
Exactly.
Okay, Pete, so where do you want to start off this
podcast,
mate? Go for it.
There's only one topic we can attack, and that's, oh God, I can't believe I used the word attack. That's bad. There's only one thing we can really go into is how we're seeing the markets. And, you know, it's been a pretty savage sell-off, you know, in recent days or whatever. And then today, as you say, it's Wednesday, the 9th of March. We're recording this just after 6 o'clock. So the UK market is shut and Europe markets are shut. Been a massive rally, you know, it's really stonked on big time. You know, it's hard to say whether that's a rally that's going to lead to something. Myself, it feels like a snapback rally, you know, when you get a bear market and you get these vicious counter trend moves, snapbacks, it's got that sort of feel written all over it. Because, I mean, you were saying before we started the podcast, there's no obvious reason, you know, you couldn't say, oh yeah, the war's over, so let's rally. What is it? The DAX was up about, let me just check, like 8% or something, absolutely insane. DAX was up 7.9% today. I mean, that for an index, that is a mega move, you know what I mean?
So yeah, 1,016 point move on the DAX, closing at 13,847, 1,000 point move on the DAX. It's mega. Just incredible, absolutely incredible.
And as we're talking, you've got the Dow Jones, you know, up 2.5 in the US, up 2.5%. The Nasdaq up 3.5%. We in the UK were up 3.2 on the FTSE 100. But the really noticeable thing was that smaller stocks, as you would expect, they rebounded further. I think the FTSE 250 was up probably like a 5-6% or something. You know, it was big moves. But it feels like that, you know, snapback rallying until we get sustained building on that. I don't think we can say yes, you know, we're back on track for a bull market. I'd be very surprised if that happens.
Yeah, I mean, as everyone knows, you know, I'm probably getting fed up for me saying it, I've been very, very cautious on the markets. And what I've been doing is using the days where the market rallies to trim the stuff that I've not really got a conviction in. And when Pete and I were speaking to you all, you ladies and gents, last time, the market was nearer and around 7,500. And I've been watching the FTSE 100 at 7,500 and watching and watching and watching it and being concerned about the fact it can't push through. Now, 2 weeks ago, we're there at 7,500, been ebbing and flowing. And then whoosh, last week, we've given up that 7,300, that support level. We then gave up 200. And on Monday of this week, when the markets felt like, it felt to me, and I put a tweet out, it felt to me like the first bout of capitulation by people that were fearful, proper fearful, were just selling anything and everything on Monday morning. And we actually, Pete, I'm not sure if you got the numbers there.
I think 6,787
points was registered on the FTSE 100. Today we've had, as Pete said, a 3% move, which I don't know where it's come from. You know, there's a bit more sanctions being sent across from the US to Russia, etc. 3% move, and we're sitting at 7,190 today. 3% move in the FTSE, so it's rallied almost 200-300 points nearly, Pete, since Monday morning.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So that's a significant move, really. Yeah.
I mean, it's a weird one. I mean, my big concern is that we've got inflation going to go bonkers. I mean, when you look at household gas and electric bills, they were average about £1,200. Then it went up to 2,000 in the recent, you know, it was recently announced it was going to 2,000. There's a lot of talk now. It's going to be 3,000 to 4,000. So even at the lower figure of 3,000, that's £1,000 of disposable income that now there isn't going to be. You know, that's going to be taken from consumers. And unless the government works miracles on removing taxes and whatever, which obviously they can't afford to do, you know, you can see that disposable income is going to get really squeezed. What I know is that every year I work out roughly what I spend on my rent, my food, my two cars that I run, blah, blah, blah. And on average, it probably works out about £18,000 a year I spend, you know, 1,500 quid a month. And I was looking at, like, you know, my rent increase and such like. I can easily see my £18,000 a year of expenditure going up to 20. I can easily see that happening. And I think people all around are going to be seeing the same situation. And yes, I can get rid of my Sky Digital because I don't really need it. And, you know, there are savings you can make. But on the whole, people are going to really feel the squeeze. And like, food prices are going to be going up because obviously Ukraine, Russia produce a lot of agricultural products, wheat and whatever. You know, the cost of filling up a diesel car on average is something like £90 now for the average car. You know, it's all money out of people's pockets that they can't spend somewhere else. I will be stunned if we, I'll be surprised if we avoid recession. I'll be absolutely stunned if we don't, best case, get like stagflation, where we have a flat, dull, not doing much economy, and we've got really high and painful inflation. What's your take on that?
It's quite odd you say that, Pete, because I put out a tweet regarding stagflation only a couple of days ago. It's something whereby we need to be watching out for it. I think the recession argument is another one to consider without being incendiary and being, you know, getting people to stress too much about it. But I think the situation is one of, we've got to have, Pete's talked about consumers and individuals being impacted by these high prices we're going to have a situation, and I've stressed about this on the last podcast, where we've got companies, individual entities that are stressed by the additional capex, wage cost, fuel cost, energy cost, transport cost, or logistics cost. You're going to have companies that are going to be coming out next week, next month, throughout the next 6 months, with profit warnings because of these increased costs.
Yeah.
You know, retail companies that have, you know, all these companies that are saying, you know, Deliveroo's of the world and all the rest of it, you know, they're going to have increased costs. Yeah. Ocado going to have increased costs. All these online companies that are transporting these things are going to have increased costs. All these companies that need all these different metals are going to have increased costs. Mm. All the energy and oil and blah, blah, blah. You know, palm oil, for instance, is going through the roof. All those companies are now popping. You know, all these costs are going to have to be passed forward to somebody else. And those that can't pass it forward are going to be impacted and possibly going to have profit warnings, Pete.
Yeah, well, I think the profit warnings can come from several ways. I mean, the obvious one is higher costs that can't be passed on to the customers. So that's obviously potential squeeze on profit. The other one is just if the inflation causes a generally slowing economy, especially if the central banks start to put up interest rates in a vain attempt to try to control the inflation, that's going to make the situation worse. So if you start getting a slowing economy, that's going to hit consumer demand as well. So the revenue side is going to get hit. So you're squeezed from the revenue side. You're probably squeezed from the cost side. Profit warnings are the sort of inevitable result of that. Not to mention things like debt repayments going up.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I need to go back, Pete, because one of the things I wanted to say, and I should have said in the middle of this, is going back to what you were saying about stagflation. And that's basically when inflation is high, but the economic growth of the country or wherever you are slows or is slowing. And they're just competing against each other. So what you get is just, you know, that's where you get the combination of stagnant and inflation put together.
Well, they tend to say it's something that they go back, it's a thing called the misery index. And I think the misery index, I can't quite remember, but it's something like the rate of inflation plus the interest rate, something like that. And the higher that number, the more pain consumers feel. And obviously we can be getting into a situation where we have very high inflation. I mean, let's talk of inflation hitting like 8, 9, 10%, which are insane numbers. We haven't had these numbers since the 70s. I mean, it's just bonkers. And then add higher interest rates onto that. So the misery index is going to be right up there. So it's pretty obvious we're not going to have an easy time going forward. And then again, you look what's happened to the poor people in Ukraine who are having a much worse time than we are, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, this is my concern. And I will go back to what we were saying about the FTSE popping 3% today and the DAX popping 7%, nearly 8%. Is that for, as far as I'm concerned regarding the markets, nothing really has changed today other than the US ratcheting up, you know, sanctions against Russia and oil prices I've seen have been dropping a little bit. Brent crude prices dropped a little bit. I think, well, I say a little bit, it's about 13% when I last looked, which is significant actually.
Yeah.
But given the how much it had rallied in the past couple of weeks, it's of no surprise. But I think we need to be cautious, folks. You know, we're recording this on the Wednesday. Let's see where the FTSE is on Friday, close of play, when you're actually listening to this. We're sitting here today at 7,190 on the FTSE. It's been down as low as 6, 7, 8, 9, right? Let's see if we can hold 7,000, and if not, pop through 7,200 on Friday. Because this situation in Russia hasn't finished. From what I'm reading elsewhere, you know, Putin is digging his heels and he's carrying on. He's not stopping. So unless we get some good news on that front, we could give this 3% up in a heartbeat, Pete. You know, that's my concern. Something, I don't want people to go, oh, the bottom's in, I'm buying everything, I'm going to buy back all the stocks, or those that have got cash that are going to be adding to the market. You know, we don't know the bottom's in, so just be cautious. Trickle stuff up, some stuff in if you want to, but don't go all back, all in right now with the view that the bottom's in, because we don't know.
Yeah, it very possibly couldn't be. The other thing that might have some bearing, although I think from experience everyone's learning that you can't really trust anything the Russian government is saying, Tomorrow they've got a meeting in Turkey, so that's on Thursday, so that's gonna be the day before you're probably hearing this podcast. They've got a meeting in Turkey between, I think it's Lavrov, you know, the Russian foreign minister, and the Ukrainian foreign minister. You know, maybe that could come as a step towards something, towards a resolution, but, you know, I wouldn't hold my breath on it.
On the chart,
right. One of the things that I think we need to really keep in mind is that we've had this down leg on pretty much all of the indexes. Now we've had a bit of a big bounce. The question is that going to keep building and going up in a kind of V shape or whatever? I think that's unlikely. Or is it going to drop, do the big jump, and then just sort of go sideways and do a consolidation? If that happens, that's a potential concern, because what can happen is it can be a bearish ledge where it goes down, there's a sideways consolidation, goes down again. And I think until we're, you know, till we're really pushing higher, and I'm looking for that 13/21-day EMA bull cross, that's the first sign that maybe things are changing. But I would like to see the news flow change as well. I mean, we're on the verge of potentially World War III. I mean, this is insane to think that the markets can rally. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. It can happen. Markets are nuts. But, you know, it seems unlikely.
Markets are occasionally erratic, Pete. And I think the situation that we've got and we've seen, and those that are experienced and have been in the market for more than 5 years, maybe 10, maybe 15, will know, and would have seen historically, or of those that have even just read a book recently would know that some of the largest bounces occur in a bear market. And when people are short the market or they need some good news, the good news or a little bit of good news gets exaggerated as such. So that hence the reason we're seeing these moves. And as I said before, we're going to see these 2%, 3%, 4% moves up and down. We've seen them intraday in the past week or so. 1,000-point moves up and down on the Dow, and seeing a 1,000-point move today on the DAX is, I'm just like, I'm thinking, when did I last see that? I don't think I've ever seen that, Pete, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Just 7-8%.
It's just nuts. I mean, that is for an index. That is insane. Yeah. But of course, Germany is right in the heart of Europe. So
right in the heart of it. So the thing is, will there be some follow through tomorrow? Will there be some follow through Friday? Will we wake up on Monday and something that we don't know has happened, in the sense of, and everyone's rejoicing in the sense of it's all over with, then the market goes whoosh. Brilliant. Yeah. You know, that's what we'd all hope for, that, you know, we don't go through the all of March with this stuff going on. You know, so let's just hope and pray for the people of the Ukraine.
Totally. I was thinking, I put out a tweet about this earlier today. For a sort of possible roadmap as to how things are going to play out, I mean, obviously nothing is carbon copy, but it's worth looking at the period between year 2000 and 2003, when we had the dot-com boom that had obviously rocketed up loads. Then we went into this very tough time, and it took a long time to get out of that. I suspect we're more in that kind of move than what we had in March 2020, where it went down straight up again. That was incredibly unusual.
You could be right, Pete. I think the interesting thing going forward. Say again?
You can't know for definite. It's just
we can't know for definite.
Yeah.
But I think the thing for me, Pete, that we've got to be mindful of is that the difference with that particular era, Pete, is the fact of the levels of inflation we've got right now. And we've already touched on that. Yeah. And also the fact that they were talking about interest rates. I think the interest rate situation is off the table at the moment, but I could be proven wrong on that.
Who knows?
And also the energy prices, Pete, you're talking at, you know, What did it touch early in this week? 140?
Yeah.
You know, for crude, dollars a barrel.
I think the all-time high is about 150, and it was pretty much 140. So, I mean, it's... I think there's a very, very good chance we'll go through that 150 ultimately.
Well, I hope not. I mean, this drop we've had today, I'm hoping that's the beginning of it dropping off. Because when people are showing me pictures of, you know, prices at their pumps for diesel at 160, 170, 180, you know, and as you said, it's gone up significantly for someone, you know, only 18 months ago. This person was working from home, Pete, or not working at all, just walking the dog. Yeah. So all that money they were saving each week. And now to fill up the tank on a Saturday to do the next run for the week's work, it's costing them 100 quid a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's like, whoosh. It's, you know, another £450 a month to find just to get to backwards and forwards to work. Whew. You know, that's going to cost me.
I think it's going to be interesting because we're going to see things like, I've always, I'm sure it was the same with you, mate. When we were kids, you walked to school, didn't you? Yeah. All around here, when my neighbours and that, everyone drives their kids to school, and the school's only down a road. And I think to myself, that's all going to stop. I mean, it's, you know,
They all drive the old Chelsea buses, don't they?
You know,
The Range Rovers.
Yeah.
The Chelsea tractor. They're not cheap to run for 5 miles on the cold, are they?
Exactly.
You know, Chelsea tractors up in the cold.
But it's interesting because I think it's going to be the little bits of expenditure like that that people save on. And you mentioned like Deliveroo earlier. I wonder if these companies like Deliveroo, where you've got to pay a little delivery charge, people are going to say, I don't want to pay that, what is it, 3-4 quid for the delivery charge, you know, and they won't do that or whatever. I think there could be quite a lot of ramifications of rampant inflation. People just won't have the money. It's as simple as that.
I think you could be right, Pete. Logistic costs are just going through the roof. You know, these transport companies are going through the roof. I want to touch on this before on the transport side of it, Pete. It's quite an interesting one today. I'm not sure you saw it, but Stagecoach popped.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think it was 30-odd% in the end. I'm just gonna find it now. 37%, Pete. So Takeover, but they'd already agreed a bid. And then a recommended bid, and then they walked away and have agreed another bid. So that's popped today, 37%. So that's quite an interesting one. So, yeah, so they had an all share, this is the important bit, an all share merger with larger peer National Express. Now they're opting for a cash offer instead.
Yeah. Blimey.
So that's with Pan-European Infrastructure 3, fund managed by DWS Infrastructure. So yeah, so they've taken a £1.05 in cash, which is a 37% premium to the closing price yesterday. So as I keep saying, you know, I had one, Oxford Instruments had a bid, which then got dropped. The bids and the takeovers are still going to be coming in, irrespective of the markets and what's going on in the Ukraine. So keep searching, folks, for those interesting companies that you think are undervalued.
I've got a link on that. I was having a chat today with my mate Peter Tracy, at Trace Speaks on Twitter. He's you know, connected to the city and stuff. And he was telling me about, you know, PhotoMe, PHTM. What's happened with that one is that the bid situation has been called off. I got to try and remember the details, but it's what they call a mandatory bid. And apparently the process with a mandatory bid is that if an individual or an entity buys 30% or 29.99% of a company, then that's fine. Yeah, they can just sit with 29.99% of the company. If they buy more shares and go over that 29.99, then they have to make a mandatory bid. Yeah, you know, they have to buy the company and they have to do a takeover, put in a takeover offer. But the thing is, they cannot pay anyone less than the last highest price they paid. So I haven't quite understood all the ins and outs of it, but you know, it's an interesting situation. And it's worth remembering with OXIG, the one you said about Oxford Instruments Group, with that one, It was only really in an initial exploratory talks, if you like. It hadn't really got to any kind of sort of formal bid situation. So with that one, it was pretty easy for them to pull out. Apparently, if you've gone further down the line and you're in this, you know, fully in a proper takeover situation and it's sort of waiting for documents, it's much harder for a bidder to pull out. It can happen, but it's actually quite rare. So, you know, it's so once the thing's going, you've got a good chance that the deal will go ahead as long as it's got far enough through the stages.
Absolutely. I think the thing for me was that, looking back at this, was it not the CEO that created a vehicle to buy the company, Pete, and then put in a really poor bid?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll just have a quick look on Twitter now.
It always intrigues me when you've got the CEO of the company trying to buy the company, but then doesn't really give a good value price for the company. Yeah, it's almost exactly. Like they're trying to steal it from under people, really, Pete.
Yeah, what it is, there's a 365-day rule, 365 days, so it's a year, yeah? Where basically, I'll just read it out. It's probably the easiest way. Right. It was a Rule 9 mandatory bid at nil premium, triggered by the largest shareholder surge, buying shares on the market, which increases stake over that 30%, you know, the 29.9. Takeover rules state he has to make an immediate offer at the same price that he bought the extra shares at, or better. So it's all linked to that.
Okie dokie.
He says, it's worth knowing that any bidder who buys the shares in the market and thereafter makes a bid must offer the same terms or better for all shareholders. This applies for 365 days from the date of last purchase.
Yeah, that makes sense, Pete. That makes sense.
Yeah, so anyway, just interesting for people to know. I mean, I don't fully quite understand it, but it's just to give people a bit of a flavour of all the different, you know, the difference between OXIG, which was just an exploratory talk, the mandatory offer one, and then the sort of more formal bid, which is all happening, and which is obviously the situation you're going to get into with Stagecoach and National Express further down the line.
Cool. Pete, do you want to take a little break here now and just cover the charity stuff, and let's then get into the meat of stocks and shares?
Absolutely. I mean,
go for it, mate.
I'm sure regular listeners and hopefully new listeners will come again and see us and hear us again. We'll know that we tend to have a charity of the year, Twin Peaks charity of the year, effectively. And this year we've gone for the Backup Trust, which is a spinal injury charity, which does lots of great work for, you know, helping people about, because I'm paraplegic myself. I'm paralyzed from chest level down. So I'm a wheelchair user. And Backup do a lot of work for, you know, giving people their confidence and the mental side and teaching people all sorts of things. And they do a lot of really good work with kids. So it's fantastic. We've set up a Just Giving page. If you go to podcast TPI 69, which was the last one we recorded, I actually talked quite at length there about my initial stay in hospital. And we've had a fantastic response to it. People found it actually quite interesting, because I think spinal injury is one of these weird things where it's actually incredibly common. You know, people know about Christopher Reeve, and, you know, I'm a big fan of bike racing. There's Wayne Rainey who had it. There's I can't remember what his name is, a guy in superbikes who broke his back. And, you know, so it's actually a lot more common than people realize. But actually, people don't really know that much about it. They just think, you know, you're in a wheelchair and it must be rubbish because you can't walk. But in reality, it's the can't walk's the easy bit. You know, if it was just I couldn't walk, I'd love it. You know, I'd be well up for it. But there's so many complications thing that make it absolutely, you know, not recommended to anyone. I'm just looking on the right. We've got a Just Giving page, and it's if you go to I'll try to find where the actual address is. You go to www.justgiving. Hang on, I'm having trouble on my phone seeing it. It's hang on, bear with. I'll figure it out in a minute. Have you got it there, Pete?
Let me just find it for you, mate. 1 second.
Thanks, dude. Well, while you're doing that, I'll hunt out the...
You find out the comments, mate, and I'll find it for you.
Yeah, that's right. What did I do with it? It's there, I think. I'm absolutely struggling with the technology. You know what it's like.
Right. Yeah, I know what you're like, mate.
We've raised £964 so far, which is brilliant. So thank you for everyone who's contributed. That's for 23 people. And if we look down on the list, let's see who's given some donations. Well, I read out a load on the last one. It's fantastic. A guy called Nigel Donati. I love your banter, chaps, and always learn a lot from your podcast. I'm on Twitter as Don't Tell Him Pike, but I don't really use it that much. Great calls, and I'll be donating again. Cheers, Nigel. He's given us a tenner and the 250 gift days. Thanks, mate. That's fantastic. Let's see who else is on here. I never know if it's right. It's a guy called WHYMPS, and I'm pretty sure that's a guy called Paul, and he's a good chap. So hi, Paul. Thanks for your donation, 50 quid. And Scrumpy has given us a fiver and the 1.25 gift age. He makes regular, so that's Scrumpy22 on Twitter. He makes regular donations, great guy. We've got Steve Cook, and that's at Mr. Cook to US son. So it must be at Mr. Cook to you son. Really enjoyed the YT podcast, chaps. And the talk about the MH aspect of back injuries was very powerful, Pete. Happy to support. I think that's mental health, yeah. Happy to support this great charity. Still not inspired to learn TA, though. Ha ha. Yeah, nice one. He's giving us 34. I love that. That's brilliant.
I do like that. I love it. Yeah. I love the fact that your banter spills over onto their banter, Pete.
Oh, brilliant. The Cameronian. He says, great calls. And my favourite investing podcast, bar none. Oh, mate, we're loving that one, aren't we? Good luck, awesome. Twin Peaks, and thanks. 30 quid and 750 gift aid. Mate, Steve Oldsworth, good lad. Thanks, as always, for the great podcast. Happy to support this great charity. Cheers, mate. Elric, top man. Elric runs Lemming Investor, yeah? I think he is at Lemming Investor on Twitter. He's given us 100 quid and 25 quid gift aid. I mean, he made incredible contributions to the last charity we supported, Memphis. It's just fantastic what he did. My mate Zig Susan, excellent podcast and a worthy cause to donate to. 30 quid and 750. Thanks, mate. Campervan Investor. I think I know who that is. Yeah, thanks, mate. Nice one. Anonymous, brilliant. Appreciate you telling it as you see it. Happy to make a contribution, tenner. Thanks, Anonymous. Fantastic. Who else we got? Jim. Oh, we know Jim. Jim Walsh. Great team. Great ideas. And lots of luck with the fundraise. Cheers, Jim Walsh. 40 quid and gift aid. So there's a few. I'll read a few more out next time and stuff. And thank you for your donations. If you guys can go to the Just Giving page, which Peter's going to come up with in a minute. And, you know, just... I mean, it's tough times for a lot of people, and you know, I'm sure a lot of us are more fortunate than a lot of people having, you know, tough times and whatever. And contributions are great, and it, at least something good then comes out of our podcast.
Absolutely. I mean, the Just Giving page, for those that haven't found it yet, is www.justgiving.com/fundraising/TwinPeaks. Now, what I tend to do is on the main page on my website is I write up some of the comments that people have given us regarding feedback. So if you've made given us some feedback regarding the podcast, you'll find that on the main tweet that goes out, the first one that goes out, that then Pete also retweets, and we get some comments regarding the podcast, and those are in there. But also there's an update each time, every 2 weeks that we put this out. There's an update regarding the progress we're making, regarding the backup trust, which we're supporting, how much we've raised. We'd dearly love, obviously, after this particular podcast, once you've listened, for you all to make a donation if you can. And that will then nudge us over the first marker, which is the £1,000. So if we can nudge over that on this occasion, that would be great. And then we push on to get towards towards 2 grand and so on and so forth. I fully appreciate, you know, given what's going on now, that everybody and everybody's considering or are doing already making donations to the Ukraine and various different charities as well. So other people have got other things that are they're donating to. So I fully appreciate that as well. So thank you all for your kindness.
Absolutely. It's the same old story. Any small donation, it all helps, you know. Brilliant. Cool.
This is a quick hello to you, our valued Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener. Whatever channel you're listening to, please make sure to subscribe and you'll always be the first to get the new episodes. Thank you for your continued support.
Pete, I want you to, because of what's been happening, and we spoke about the commodity situation in the last podcast, I wanted to touch a little bit, if I may, regarding some of the commodity stuff that's been going on. We've seen, obviously, wheat prices going up, oil prices went up and is coming down a little bit. Lithium has absolutely shot out of the stalls recently. And somebody was sent some stats over that I saw. And this is from a lady by the name of Jessica Amir, and she works for Saxo Bank in Australia. And she's written this, and it's linked a little bit to EV metal index. And 10 kilograms of lithium, its price as of yesterday was plus 90% this year. 45 kilograms of nickel, price up 130%. Yeah, 20 kilograms of manganese, price steady. And 12 kilograms of cobalt, up 12%. The reason why I'm mentioning this is not to go on and talk about lithium. It's about speaking about two royalty companies and how to possibly play the market in a sense of commodity prices and whether or not we're having a super cycle or whatever going forward. And one of those companies goes by the name of Anglo Pacific, yeah? APF. Have you heard of that one?
APF.
Have you heard of it, Pete?
Yeah, I know APF. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one of the companies I want you to quickly speak about and for people to get onto their radar in a sense of thinking about investigating a bit further. And the reason why is because it's got quite a lot of different companies in their portfolio, right? And they cover cobalt, base metals, uranium, vanadium, iron ore, coking oil, and others. So you've got a whole mix there, and it pays a dividend as well whilst you're waiting. So I just thought that might be a stock for people to actually look into with regards to it being a royalty company. And basically, they have the exposure to the metals, but they don't have to deal with the cost implications of what's going on. Yeah? So that's the reason why I think that'd be interesting. The other one is a company called Trident Royalties, and that's another one that's got streaming regarding investments from royalties.
That's TRR.
Via investments made elsewhere. TRR. Yeah. So that's Trident and Anglo Pacific as well. Yeah. So that's those are two companies I think that are worth investigating further if you want to play commodities but don't want to buy. By exposure to a specific miner. The difficulty you've got with miners is obviously the cost implications and all the rest of it. But also you've got difficulties we've seen regarding the Russia situation where some people are saying, you know, the market's going to be volatile, so seek safety in gold. Now, if you're seeking safety in gold, seek safety in gold, right? Buy some gold.
Yeah.
If you want to seek additional sort of leverage exposure to gold, then you buy a miner. But if you want to de-risk that, buy a royalty stream exposure to a miner or a fund, consider a fund that gives you exposure to the mining companies and pays a dividend and will give you some exposure over the long term. Because as you've seen with the stocks that have been exposed to Russia, they're up 30%, 40%, 50%. Polymetal, Everest, they've been all over the place, you know, and everyone's calling the bottom in that. You know, it's up 50% one day, it's up 30% the next day. Who knows where the bottom is, right? But what we do know is that unless you've got a neck brace, be very, very careful trying to pick the bottom regarding any stock that's linked to Russia right now.
And any of those things have become trading stocks. I mean, you know, you could literally find you've got this holding in Everest or something, but you just can't sell it because, you know, it's banned from being traded or something ridiculous. looking at the chart of APF, it's a very interesting chart. I'm going to do my usual trick of showing you it on the screen. And look at that. You can see that amazing chart. It's over 3 years, yeah? And what is interesting is that it's been butting up against sort of just over £1.60. And it's been getting up to that level. And it's done the classic sort of, what do we call it? Yeah, the cup and handle. It's done a cup and handle where it's done the sort of cuppy bit, and then it's done a little handle bit. You have to look at it yourselves on the chart, but it's over sort of 2 years. I noticed today, which, as we said, was Wednesday, the 9th of March, it's done a bit of a down candle, so it's probably pulling back. But I won't be surprised if that breaks out and goes higher above that 160 and probably pushes quite quick onto 180. You know, I would imagine that's quite possible. Looking at SharePad, I mean, obviously, we've got to be really careful with any earnings forecast now. You know, I think it's the situation we talked about earlier with potential profit warnings, with costs going up, blah, blah, blah. You know, loads of companies, these forecasts are just like, you might as well just chuck them in the bin. So forward PE.
However, with these royalty companies, they don't have these costs.
I'm coming on to that. If anything, so with loads of companies, the risk is to downside. On commodity companies, the risk could actually be to the upside. We might see commodities go higher. Who knows, you know? But anyway, but I would say that the kind of forecast you're getting on a royalty company in mining is probably going to be something a little bit you can be a little bit more confident about than say the forecast for a really cyclical retailer that sells clothes or something. But looking on SharePad, you've got forward yield of 4.3% and a 2-year forward yield of 5%. So you're getting quite a nice dividend on it. And the other one you said was TRR, wasn't it? Trident Resources.
Yeah, but before you get to that, I just wanted to do the stats on APF, if I may. Yeah. So I always go for the total returns because you're looking for this to be an income generator for you. Almost like a safety play, but with a little bit of capital gains. So the 5-year annualized total returns for APF, 11.55, which is not too shabby. 3 years, 4.78. Over the past 12 months, it's done 31.4%. Last 3 months, it's done 17%. So that's not too bad, given where the markets are, and given all the everyone's favorite stock is sitting at 1 year or near 52, you know, 2-year lows. And to have something there that's giving you a good return is not too bad.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Anglo Pacific, it's got quite an exposure to coal. To iron ore, is it the Kestrel mine, Rio Tinto Kestrel mine, something like that? But you know, I like it. I think it's a good thing to have a good look into. You said about TR.
I think it has less exposure to coal now, Pete, as well.
Yeah, well, I think it's bought more stuff, so it's diluted down that exposure. On TRR, that's very interesting because on a 3-year chart, and bear in mind, I think Trident's sort of changed into a royalty business. I got a feeling it was a bit different earlier on because, like, for ages, for like, you know, 2 years ago, it up until 2 years ago, it wasn't really doing much and it was down really low. And then it's just really started motoring and moving up. And the chart on it over 2 years just looks a really good bullish chart. I mean, it does look a very nice chart. I'm aware of TRR because I saw the CEO on that Sky News Ian King live thing in the morning a while ago. And it was interesting because they were buying, like, you know, all the hot metals, the lithiums, the cobalts, or whatever, they were buying royalty agreements for a lot of those. From memory, I think they've got quite a few established projects that they've got these royalties on. But there's also some projects that are quite new projects. that they, if everything goes to plan, will get royalties on when they start producing. But as Pete pointed out, because these are royalty companies, the money they get paid from the basically what happens is Trident or Anglo Pacific lend money to these mining companies. And instead of it being like a normal kind of debt where you have a certain repayment, whatever, they take a percentage of the revenue from the selling of the production. Yeah. So they don't have the problem with, you know, if costs overrun or whatever, they're just getting a percentage of the revenue. So they are sort of insulated from that kind of, you know, things have gone wrong with the mine today kind of problems. So they're really interesting things to look at. I mean, you know, I've got Duke Royalty, which is a very unusual business because it sort of uses that sort of similar to the mining royalty model, but with normal businesses as opposed to mining. So that's very much the same sort of vein and quite unusual.
Yeah, I mean, on total returns again, ladies and gents, over 3 years, Trident has returned 37.7% total returns. 1 year, 44.8. So that's had a really good 1 year move. Yeah. And 3 months is up 41%. So is all of the gains in? I really don't know. We're there's talk of a super cycle. Lots of the commodities are going up. And all the rest of it. So, you know, I think it's worth investigating. I think it's also worth investigating some of the funds that give you exposure to this as well. Obviously, some of the miners have been beaten up. So they might get some exposure that way. You know, not a lot of people that are in the Twitterati FinTwit world like miners. You know, they're almost like a sin stock. But, you know, given the fact that they've outperformed the vast majority of the very, very loved stocks this year, you know, it might be a rotation going on regarding miners and commodities at the moment. Who knows?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? It's like, you know, if people who are in miners and oil companies this year are having a fantastic year, whereas, you know, people like myself who are in the more other stuff with a small bit of mining and a small bit of oil, you know, it ain't particularly pleasant. You know, it's been a pretty tough year. So, but it's horses for courses. We have good times. The people who like the miners and oils have good times. They have bad times. We have bad times. It's all swings and roundabouts. And it's about what bit of the market you like, what you sort of specialize in and where you want to be. I mean, for me, myself, I just couldn't take the stress and volatility of having loads of money in miners. But I certainly have a bit in there. You know, I'm quite happy to do that. Yeah, something like Trident, I mean, it's because it's sort of business model is fairly new to it. I think you've got to look back about a year or year and a half or whatever when they sort of shifted more to this kind of model and got things going. And I think, you know, so it's still a sort of newness to it. So I think maybe using a stop loss or certainly don't go putting a big chunk of your portfolio in it. You know, keep it a sensible size because I think, you know, none of these things are without risk. Even a royalty company, things can still
agree. Absolutely agree.
If one of the mines doesn't produce anything, they don't get a royalty. So that's where the risk lies. So, you know, nothing's easy. Nothing's easy. Mm. And I mean, you were saying, you know, yeah, we could be in a super cycle. But equally, if we go into a global recession, which is very possible, and bear in mind the cost of energy, you know, oil, diesel, whatever, for the mining dumper trucks and the diggers and, you know, the dozers, you've got to have the dozers. Mm. You know, running all that stuff is going to cost more. So it's just going to get harder and harder. And you know, it could be that the super cycle has its legs chopped off simply because global recession just damps everything down. Who knows? Who knows?
That's a very good point, Pete. You're absolutely spot on that. That could impact it as well. I wanted to say as well regarding what's going on in the market. I saw a really brilliant quote/tweet earlier today. And this is for everybody, really, because I know that the past 2 weeks, month, going even back as far as October, has been extremely difficult for a lot of people. And it's a case of what am I doing here in the stock market? This is horrible. You know, these stocks that I thought were going to be, you know, absolutely storming it, I haven't done very well. I'm down 10%, I'm down 20%. You know, I've got a friend of mine who's rang me up the other day saying he was down 100 grand, you know, in the blink of an eye, because the markets have really just kiboshed a lot of the stocks that he was in, you know. And we've seen some really, really significant stocks, some that were beloved, that are down at 52-week lows last week or this week. So I thought I'd share this with you all, and just listen for a second and just take these words in. And it's about investing, essentially, but it's not. But it is. But it's not. But it is. Okay. So this is it. It's called Think Like a Farmer. Don't shout at the crops. Don't blame the crop for not growing fast enough. Don't uproot crops before they've had a chance to grow. Choose the best plants for the soil. Irrigate and fertilize. Remove weeds. Remember, you will have good seasons and bad seasons. You can't control the weather. Only be prepared for it. I hope that little psychology quote there helps you all. We're investing, ladies and gents, not for this week, not for next month, but for whatever our goals and ambitions and aspirations are. And that could be whether or not you're retiring in 10 years, 5 years, or 25 years. What happens in the markets this week, what happens with Russia and Ukraine this week or next week, will not be how your portfolio or your investments look in 25 years' time.
Oh.
Yeah. So just bear that in mind and
be patient.
Or 5 years' time, just be calm.
Yeah, that's absolutely so true. Mate, while I think of it, I need to get it in quick. Just to let people know, I've started doing some TikTok videos. I've done two so far. And basically the idea is that when we're doing our Twin Peaks things, so often we have loads of material that doesn't get used. And that sort of like fired me up to think, well, you know, we've got to use this material. So what I'm going to be doing is loads of, they can only be 3 minutes long. They're short form videos. And I'm going to build up like an archive of these short form videos. I was hoping to do one in the last few days, but my health's been really pants this week. So, but I'm hoping to get another one done at the weekend. And if you go onto TikTok, so I guess it's www.TikTok, and look for @WheelieDealer. It's the same as my Twitter handle. So I was over the moon when I managed to nab that one. So yeah, go on there, check it out. I'm sure you'll find them good and useful.
Can I just interject here, Pete? There's a reason why some of the stuff that you're going to put on TikTok doesn't get on the Twin Peaks show, right? For anyone that's listening, yeah?
We ain't got time.
I'm only jesting, mate.
We could do five hours. We could do 5 hour podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. We're not doing marathons on here anymore. I'm trying to keep this one as short and sweet as possible, because Pete would have us talking for 90 minutes. And then we get people saying, oh, make them longer. And I'll say this again. No. Pete, can you go find Pete on TikTok, folks, if you want him to be talking for another hour and a half. Honestly, no chance.
Whether you are an experienced or new investor, you know how valuable it is to conduct portfolio enhancing analysis and to have easy access to data that will give you the edge. As a Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener, you can access an exceptional offer via ShareePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. This special Twin Peaks offer is available to new subscribers only, and you can subscribe using the promo code TWINPEETS. The incredible and exclusive offer means that monthly subscribers will get their second month free, and annual subscribers will get their 13th month free. Sign up and subscribe to ShareePad today using the Twin Peaks promo code, and you can save up to £69. Visit sharescope.co.uk/sharepad for further details and subscribe to the investing and trading analysis and data you need.
Right, Pete, have you got any stocks there you want to share, mate?
Do you know what? I think in light of what we've been talking about, I think I can only stress how trying to find, apart from miners and oil and whatever, trying to find stocks that have sort of got a defensive nature about them, you know, that are going to be more resilient. So, we've talked a million times on these podcasts about Glaxo, GSK. We've talked about AstraZeneca, AZN. these kind of things where hopefully, touch wood, you know, even if there is a difficult period for the global economy, these kind of companies can still do okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think I was sort of thinking, well, what is a defensive area? And the obvious one that springs to mind, and I think there's probably still good value to be had, is the clues in the name, defense. I'm a genius, and I defense. Can you believe it?
So yes, defense, you are a genius, Pete. Oh,
defense, defense is defensive. See, so it's not, you know, it's, I'm trying to keep it simple for you. So I myself hold BAE Systems, BA dot. I mean, it's pretty obvious with the awful situation going on in Ukraine and with, you know, even Germany that's been, you know, dragging its heels on how much it spends, how much of GDP it spends on its own defense. It's been dragging its heels. Even their increase in their proportion of GDP spent on defensive weapons and stuff. And yeah, you know, it's a horrible idea, the Weapons Act. But the simple reality is, if we're going to defend ourselves from the crazy people of the world, more money's going to have to be spent on defense. And I think that puts defense companies in an interesting place. So I've got BAE Systems. From memory, I think you're still going to get around 4%. You'll have to check the numbers. It's around 4% dividend should be coming from it. There's other companies to look at, like Kinetic, QQ dot. There's Chemring, CHG. There was Ultra Electronics, ULE, but I think that's in a takeover situation, so it's a bit late for that one. You've got Concurrent Technology, CNC. That's a much smaller one, and I think they do like ruggedized PCB boards and stuff, but that could be one that's worth having a look at. I don't really know that much about CNC, but I think it could be interesting. Obviously, Avon, and that's one that's had profit warnings, and you've always got to be careful when a company's had a profit warning. But again, something to look at, and maybe once Avon comes out with some good results, that might be a good time to have a look at it again or whatever. And then you've got companies like Cohort, CHRT. That's most of the ones I can you think of any, Pete, that I haven't covered?
You already mentioned the main behemoth, haven't you? BAE.
Yeah.
So that's that. Other than that, you're going across to Canada and the US regarding them, and their holdings and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And the other way to play it also regarding defense is where the main, I say the main, or one of the strategies going to be going in place now regarding future wars is going to be cyber. So, you know, you've got your cyber plays and cyber security plays. And obviously the one I'm not sure I mentioned it last time, but the one I've got in that space is Darktrace. And I put a tweet out about it the other day because I suspect that's where a lot of the wars are going to be fought going forward. I don't think anyone expected this one to be on foot with soldiers and tanks. And we're going to see lots of cyber security stuff going on. So investigate the stocks that are involved in cyber security, folks. I think that would be a good way to go ahead. You've seen the recent situation with Microsoft and Google were fighting over a particular cyber security company. And they've just taken over what used to be called FireEye. I think it's called, is it Mediant or something like that at the minute? So that's just been taken over. So you can suspect that we're going to have some other companies going to be looking at cybersecurity and trying to take over those sort of companies going forward.
Looking at BAE Systems on SharePad, and bear in mind, yeah, we can probably trust these forecasts. And if anything, it wouldn't surprise me if the forecasts are light and they actually end up beating over time. Forecast PE 14.3, 2-year forecast PE 13.6. You've got a forecast dividend yield of 3.6%, rising to 3.8%. So I think the value case looks pretty decent on it. So, you know, and that's, like you said, it's the big behemoth kind of stock in that sector. As I say, I think QQ, Kinetic, is the next big one. And Chemring's a reasonable size. I think the others, CNC, Avon, CHRT, are much smaller. BAE Systems has got a cyber bit as well, cyber security bit.
So that'll come in handy as well. Just going back to the Google bit, I think I said, yep, I mentioned FireEye in there, and I shouldn't have done. The Nasdaq listed specialist called Mandiant Security, And it looks like, let me just get this right now. So Microsoft was after it, and Alphabet were after it. And it looks like they're going to be taking it to boost Google security arm. So $5.4 billion, a little bit of a premium there for that. So I suspect there's going to be other mergers and other takeovers regarding that particular space, Pete. But security, as you said, defense, cyber as well. Just keep an eye out and have a look for some companies that are involved in those two spaces, because I think the spend going forward is going to increase significantly.
Looking at just quickly on BAE Systems, it has a cyber bit. I was listening to something the other day talking about how warfare is actually happening and whatever, and they were saying that what has actually transpired is that people think that the cyber side of warfare is about sending a beam at a tank and all of a sudden the enemy tank stops working, you know, and whatever. And they say that's not actually what they're finding is happening. What is happening is that the cyber war is taking place in the public opinion and the propaganda side of things. So it's like you're getting social media with your Twitter and your Facebook and all that, Instagram, loads of falsified pictures and pictures from other wars, and it's being done by both sides. So it's incredibly, apparently that is where the real cyber battle is. So I find that's quite interesting, and we'll see more of that going forward, I'm sure. Another one I wanted to mention was Babcock, B-A-B,
runs
the shipyards and stuff. The only thing I would say with that one is be really careful, because it's been an absolute turkey for a long time. It keeps, you know, being a serial disappointer, if you like. Maybe at some stage it will get its act together and we'll start to see the price start moving up. I'd be wary of BAB. I don't know how you feel, Pete.
It's one of those, Pete. It's almost a bit like, you know, you've not mentioned Rolls-Royce in the middle of all of that as well, Pete.
That's got a lot of problems as well, hasn't it? Yeah.
It's got a lot of problems. You've got to be mindful of, and Pete touched on it before, costs going up and all the rest of it. With all these costs going up, I always touch on this bit. Watch out for companies with debt, because they've got to be able to service the debt. And this is how companies end up being bankrupt. We're not saying that's going to happen to Rolls-Royce or BAE, but look out for it. These costs are going up. You've got to be able to service your debt. You want your debts to come down. Costs are going up. You've got this going on all the time. So just be mindful of that. I think the concern I have regarding the behemoths, Pete, is that they simply can't get out of their way. They've got such high costs anyway already, and these costs are going to go up regarding the actual raw materials they need to actually do the works they need for these, all the bits and pieces and engines and so on and so forth. So be mindful of this going forward. They need some big contracts, and the margins sometimes are paper thin. That's my concern regarding the big boys.
I think a lot of these defense type contracts, they've actually got sort of pass-through things where the cost increases are passed on to the government buyer or whatever, so I think they're reasonably protected on that, but no, you're right. I mean, there's, you know, you imagine the cost of the metal going into a jet fighter is going to go up massively to where it was. Of course, one of the big advantages that defense companies have is they've all got security clearance. You know, getting security clearance, you know, it's like you and me, Pete, we couldn't start, you know, Twin Peaks Defense Company tomorrow. We make tanks and stuff, you know, which is, apart from the fact that they probably wouldn't be very good tanks to go and fight a war in, you know.
Papier-mâché, mate. Yeah.
Made out of paper, and we'd be telling everyone it's aluminium or whatever, you know, whatever it is. Anyway, so, where was I, mate? You completely lost me with that. But we couldn't just build.
You're basically saying it's hard to get approval. Absolutely. To get approval for the UK government or the American Armed Forces, the MOD, whatever. That's like gold dust. That's absolutely like a seal of approval that you have verified. You know what I mean? Hence the reason why these contracts go to only a handful or a dozen or so companies around the world all the time. You know.
Yeah, makes sense.
Okay, so Pete, the last thing I wanted to touch on here was another commodity sort of situation, And there's a few stocks here. And what's happening now, one of the things that's spiking and going up significantly is palm oil, which is used in almost everything. Yeah. And a couple of those stocks to bear in mind, I'm just going to whistle through them and you guys, ladies and gents, can actually go in and have a good look at these yourself. Varying from the small ones, there's one by the name, and I'm not sure I'm going to get this right, Deckel AgriVision, right, is involved in palm oil, and the ticker symbol is DKL. Okay.
Decoil, isn't it, or something like that? Decoil.
Yeah, Deckel Agri. Then you've got Anglo Asian Plantation involved in palm oil again, yeah. And that ticker symbol is AEP. Okay.
Yeah.
Then you've got REA Holdings. Yeah, ticker symbol RE dot. And then you've got Evans, which is MPE Evans Group. Yeah, ticker symbol MPE.
Yeah.
Palm oil, another area to investigate. I know it's not one we've ever spoken about before. Just trying to bring something new to the table for you, ladies and gents, to investigate. Some bit of risk here, obviously, because it's that specifically involved in this particular space. The fluctuation regarding price and the commodity could be all over the shop. But that particular area has done okay over the past year or so. And looking at the charts, you've got REA Holdings over the past 12 months is up 225%. Right? Who's talking about REA Holdings over the past 12 months? I haven't heard anybody. I haven't seen anyone ramping it. You know, and I keep saying to you, ladies and gents, the stuff that's getting ramped out there, as you've seen in the past 3 months, 3 weeks, 3 days, hasn't been that successful. Try and look off the radar at what else is going on. Stop looking at everybody else's stuff and what they're involved in and what they're talking about. Find your own stuff and you might be able to find a REA that no one's talking about and it'd be up 225% for you. And that's what you should be going for. Stay in your lane, find your own stuff. Don't compete, don't compare, don't contrast. Don't get envious, don't get jealous. Focus on your own goals and you can be and you will be successful. Copy some other people, you don't even know what they're buying and why they're buying it. You just see X and Fred's buying it, so therefore I'm buying it. You know, Deborah's buying it, so therefore I'm buying it. Doesn't work. It hasn't worked. It's proving this market right now is showing you copycatting other people's ideas doesn't work. Do your own research, folks.
Absolutely. Something important to realize about the palm oil producers is that they get a lot of bad press, the whole palm oil thing. You know, the guy from Iceland, whatever his name is, Malcolm Smith's son, is it Mark Smith, whatever his name is? The CEO at Iceland, he's very hot on palm oil. And because,
he's banned it from all the products, I think, Pete.
Yeah, yeah. Because there are.
I was trying to. Yeah, yeah.
There are places in the world that is flattening rainforest and nowhere for the orangutans to live, and they're putting in palm oil. But these companies that we've talked about, I certainly know this about DKL because I've spoken to the CEO before on DKL. And what they do is they very much have subsistence farmers, and they're actually getting the palm oil from subsistence farmers. So they're getting a reasonable living and whatever. And these are farms that have been going forever and a day. They're not clearing rainforest to do it and whatever. And palm oil is a massive food, food product that's used in so many things. And you know, it's obviously around the world where this palm oil stuff gets used. So it's an interesting area. The thing with DKL, just look at the debt on it, but it's an interesting company. Obviously, as prices of palm oil go up, it's going to benefit. And the other thing is that they're getting more into producing more. If you read I've been reading the updates on it. It's quite an interesting little company. And they've been, steadily, making progress on the actual levels of production. And they have like crushing mills to crush the palm oil things, fronds or whatever they are, like the seed balls or whatever they are. They crush them up and the oil comes out and whatever. The processing plant, you have like a kernel and whatever. So look into it. It's an interesting area. You might find it something to have a go at.
So that's why I'm bringing it to the table, Pete. I think it could be interesting. You are right regarding, I think the word you were looking for is deforestation, around where these, you know, things occur and these palm oil is found. So yeah, there's a concern regarding that. So that has its downside. So those ethical investors we have in there would want to avoid it.
What it is, there's like a industry body where you can get certified and stuff that you produce decent, you know, sustainable power. All these ones have got all that certification. Mm-hmm. So I don't think you've got any concerns with the listed ones. So yeah, they're not the sort of cowboy orangutan destitute making people, you know. You're not gonna make an orangutan destitute, mate, do you? Not just because you want to eat some chocolate or something, and it's got, you're eating chocolate on the back of an orangutan. You've got to remember that. It's not fair.
I'm not sure. I need to carry on for about another 10 minutes to get that out of people's minds, mate. You just say some strange things sometimes, mate. You really do.
Right, you've got to think of them. You've got to think of them.
Right. we've got to try and keep this one a little bit shorter, folks. So we're going to try and end it there. We've covered a lot of different commodities. We've covered a lot of stocks. I'm going to start where I started here with regards to the podcast, in the sense of just be careful out there. We're in volatile times in the markets. We're not sure where it's going to go. I've been using the opportunities to trim stuff on the days the markets have been going up. I'm looking for stuff when the markets have dropped. I bought a few bits and pieces. I've trimmed. I'm all over the shop with it at the minute. But essentially, I'm creating a cash buffer. I'm increasing my cash buffer for if and when this situation finishes. DAX up 7, nearly 8%. Is that a cue that actually we could be nearing a new dawn and everything's going to be over with? I don't know. So come Friday, which will be the 11th when this podcast comes out, have a look at where the market is. We finished today at 7,190 on the FTSE. Have a look at where the FTSE is on Friday. At midday when you see this on Twitter, right? And if you're looking at it and you're reading and listening to this podcast on Friday evening, Sunday, where did the FTSE 100 finish? Where did the Dow finish? Did the Dow finish above 33,000? Because that's the threshold I've been watching. And when I saw that go a couple of days ago and it crashed through below 33,000, I was like, uh-oh, here we go. It's been dropping and hitting that and bouncing back, and bouncing back, and then it just gave it up. And right now, I think we're above that. Let me just have a quick look whilst we're closing this off regarding what's going on in the debt on the markets in America. So that's because that's where, you know, whatever's going on over there, we're usually impacted, are we not, Pete?
Oh, absolutely. We very much track their moves.
So right now, Pete, it's 7:20 on Wednesday evening in the UK, and over there it's just gone 2:20 their time, so they've got just under another 2 hours of the markets or so. They're up 636 points on the Dow, and it's back above 33,000. It's at 33,269. We want to see the Dow Jones close above 33,000 at close of play on Friday evening our time, and if that is the case and we're above that 34, maybe 35, that must mean there's been some positive news regarding Ukraine and Russia. But then again, it might still not be over because these things tend not to finish in a day and a week. So I'm going to say, just be mindful, be careful. Don't go throwing all your money back into the market today, this week or whatever. And just wish you all good luck. Stay safe. Anything you want to add, Pete, before you go?
Well, I was just going to say, it looks to me like on the Dow, you need to get just over 34 is where the real resistance is. If it can get above that, that would be a positive development. I'm still, I am 40% hedged. So I've got shorts on the S&P 500, short on the FTSE 100. I ain't taking those off either until they hit my stop or I can see that this rally has got legs. Or do we get something really positive on Ukraine, like hopefully the damn situation is over. But at the moment, I'm very cautious.
So folks can just imagine this. I very rarely wear shorts because I have knobbly knees. Okie dokie. On that note.
Oh, dear.
Note and on that thought and on that vision, I would say take care. God bless. See you guys in ladies in 2 weeks' time. And if you can, please support the Backup Trust and Pete's Challenge this year for the charity. And please be lucky and please be kind to whoever you can be, even the people that you don't know, you probably never meet, that are in great difficulty now and walking tens of hundreds of miles to get to safety from Ukraine. So until then, folks, take care.
This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with ShareePad from ShareScoop, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScoop.co.uk and discover the advantage.